Looking outside the studio today, it is a perfect day for a drive. Nice overcast, window down. And if I was going to go for a drive and I was in the lower part of the state, I think I'd head up I-17. I think I'd veer off on 69 and I'd pull in at Mortimer's Family Farm. It used to be called Young's Farm. Now Mortimer Family Farm for the Sweet Corn Festival going on today and tomorrow, 10 to 5 p.m. Music, food, fun, and of course, the corn maze. So happy to see that ag back at Young's Farm. It's now Mortimer's Family Farm. Everything that used to enjoy about going to Young's Farm available again. And their Sweet Corn Festival is today.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, and I bet you you might be able to even buy some sweet corn. I'm just saying.
Hey, I drive up for the grass-fed beef that they sell in their meat department.
Oh, they do have a good meat locker. Yes, they do.
And they just took delivery of 500 turkeys. They're going to start raising turkeys now. They got 500 little baby turkeys.
Just in time for Thanksgiving. Put that on your list. Mortimer's Family Farm, back up and operating. Now, we're talking landscape as it pertains to drainage and grading and drainage. This is kind of an obvious question, but how do you know if you have a problem? They're not always as obvious as a towel at your threshold when the water's coming under. It might take a little bit more. It might be a sneaky problem.
Well, one of the things, obviously, look for telltale signs of where the water collected. You usually can see that little line on the wall or the line on the stem wall of your house where a little bit of debris and mud accumulated. Give you an idea of where water might be actually standing after you've had a really good storm.
A little green algae on some sod somewhere around
maybe
shaded area.
Wet carpeting, damaged drywall, right.
And when we're talking foundation repairs, I mean, you look for cracks that are going through. They develop at corners of windows, doors, if you've got a masonry home. A lot of times, you'll see a little cracking along the grout line. That's not always an indication. It might just be natural cracking of the mortar. But if it's going through a block,
then you got a problem.
Yes.
Another thing to look for is on your stem walls, because it's usually the one place that painters don't touch up. If you get your house painted, is that stem wall. It's that piece of concrete that you see. Hopefully you see below the stucco, but above the dirt. And if you got spalling, paint's peeling off of there, concrete will kind of crack and fall apart. Those are things to look at because that's water damage that it's basically somehow got there and is causing that problem.
John, when you go in and you rectify somebody's drainage problem, what's the kind of clearance that you're looking for between the bottom of the stucco and the subgrade that you were just talking about? What kind of space do you want there to protect your home?
It's going to vary.
Okay.
And it's all basically on site specifics.
Okay.
What would be at Rosie's house is completely different from what I'm going to expect to see at my house because of the building envelope and the way that the lot is already basically graded. Whether you're on the side of a mountain, you might even have both of those scenarios. On the uphill side of the mountain, you may only have an inch and a half. But on the downhill side, you might have a foot and a half or 2 feet, depending on your stem.
But a common average residential home in the Phoenix Valley, if you had 3 or 4 inches of clearance between the stucco and the dirt, is that satisfactory to hopefully eliminate intrusion problem or water infiltration into your home?
You're going to try and make sure that you're directing that water away from the house.
Okay.
And basically, if you can see what our minimum is that we try to maintain is, and you can't always achieve it, but I always look for 2 inches.
Okay.
That way it also allows you to see if you got termites going up the wall. You can see that clearance. But as much as you possibly can in reality.
Super.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Dewey in Queen Creek, back on sod. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Dewey? Is that
yes,
the
sir.
One?
Go for it.
Yeah,
you're on
okay,
live.
Great. Hey, I got a follow-up question on the sod. I've got a pasture, and I've got some low spots that, like an inch to 2 inches. Is that something that I could fill with sod by laying it right over the existing Bermuda?
Bill,
and also, would it work in an irrigation situation?
Bill from Think Green Irrigation is just about to jump out of his seat. He's got an answer for you, Dewey. Here you go.
Me. Good morning, Dewey. You might be able to. Obviously, in an irrigated lot like that, it depends on how the water flows. If it accumulates slowly, if you have a lot of water movement, it might wash the sod away. Oftentimes, we'll just build up the area a little bit if it's a small amount with a nice sod blend, a little bit of mulch, a little bit of sand, nice a fine river silt, and the Bermuda grass will grow through it, especially in a pasture-type situation. But in lieu of that, sure, I mean, you can put a little sod on the top. It's just going to kill the grass below it with the dirt, and it'll grow.
Appreciate the call. What do you think? If that was your home, is that the route you would go to accomplish that, or would you...
It also depends upon the type of grass that you have. And if it's common Bermuda, anything you're putting down by sod is going to be nicer than that. But you do have to be aware of the fact that there are different hybrids, and they do look a little bit different. So you'd like to put like with like.
Great. Steve in Goodyear's called in and wants to know about sunburning. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. My pygmy date palms, they made it through the freeze this last winter just fine. But this summer, I'm probably starting about in June, they got browned out. And I was wondering, did they get sunburnt, the pygmy date palms, or is it something else?
Morning, Steve. You know, they do. Pygmies are a little bit more sun sensitive than some of the other small palms we use in the landscape, like a Mediterranean fan palm. They're a little more like the queen palm in that they need a little bit more water. They are a little higher water use, and they like a little bit of protection from the late afternoon burning sun. So if you have a really hot environment with a lot of hardscapes nearby that might radiate heat, and they're out in a really sunny location, sometimes they can get hardened off over time. But if we just have a particularly tough summer, they'll show a little bit of browning, a little bit of burning on the ends of the fronds.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We were talking a moment ago about the stem wall from your home's slab that you should see. Well, we had someone call in and says, "What if you don't see a stem wall? Then what?"
Then you got a problem.
Well, let's talk.
Maybe.
To is it Jana in Sun City?
Yeah.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Yeah, somehow Del Webb managed to get past the inspectors around here that the stucco goes all the way down below grade.
That is.
Jana, can you tell me what vintage of home you have, what part of Sun City you're in, and how old the home is?
We're in the expansion area. I think it's like 97 or so.
So is that West or is that that's not all the way to Festival yet or Grand?
No.
So no, you're probably Sun City West. Because then it's Sun City, Sun City West, Sun City Grand, and now Festival.
John, you were going to have a thought. I have a thought, but it's a little bit.
Yeah, this is where we get back to having that trained eye, Jana. There are certain things that you can look for. One of the things that we typically look for right off the bat is the thresholds of the doors around your home. Those are a clear indication typically of the finished floor. And you can carry that line around the outside of the house, and that should give you a good indication of where that stem wall is.
So she's standing at her front. She's looking at her front door, and she goes down at the threshold, and she should see a little concrete curb. Looking left and looking right, she shouldn't see stucco from the home coming past that concrete on the
there
threshold.
There are some builders that have done that, and it is that. They'll take that stucco all the way down just so you don't see that. It does not mean that stem wall is not there, though. The stem wall is still probably behind that stucco.
And I have to say, we did that aesthetically because when the one-coat stucco came out back in the 80s, you had to have that J-mold drip edge there, which everybody hated. It mm-hmm. was a horrible look. And so a lot of us geniuses came up with the idea, well, let's just put a little Z-bar flashing there and stucco, hold it flush to the stem wall and stucco all the way down. Then all you saw was a little minute little crack as opposed to that big honking shadow line. Well, then we found out what we were doing was we were really encouraging and creating a condition conducive for termite infestation. So then we had to go back to revealing the shadow line and the big J mold, and you just have to live with it. And some insecticide companies will actually come and charge you to plug all those holes to stop the critters from getting in your house, and that's even worse yet. Now you're stopping any moisture that does get in your wall from leaving it the way it's designed to leave. My guess, the fact that Janice is the late 90s, I don't think everyone had stopped hiding the J mold by there. Do you think possibly she could be in a masonry home?
That's what I was just thinking. It might be a block.
I didn't think Del Webb did any masonry.
I didn't either over there. I thought it was all stick frame.
Every home should be masonry, but I don't think.
Okay, here comes the soapbox.
So I'd be curious if Jana just couldn't send us a picture of maybe the front door threshold as the wall goes off to the side of the door and give us an idea of what it looks like, and then we could get back to you, Jana, and see if we could help you out.
Or give us a call. I'd be happy to come out and take a look at it.
All right, and how would she get in touch with you?
Think Green Irrigation and Landscaping, 480-922-9497. We're also on the site.
On the site?
The website, sorry.
Online?
Yes.
Internet. Rosie on the House website.
There you go. Under landscaping, Rosie on, that's R-O-S-I-E, on the house.com. We've got Steve in Oro Valley, Bobby in Tucson. We're going to Southern Arizona. When we get back, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4-U if you'd like to sneak in your landscape question before top of the hour.